Hi, Crime Junkies. Britt here. This month, I have the distinct honor of doing the DNA case, and our story starts on December 1st, 1981. A real estate agency in College Station, Texas, receives a call from a man requesting to see a specific farm property. The property was in a pretty rural area of College Station, Texas, and it didn't really have a dedicated agent. It was kind of low on the list of priorities when it came to properties to sell. So with a piece of land like this, the agency pretty much just sent out their real estate agents on a rotation. It was 40-year-old Virginia Ginger Freeman's turn to show the property. The caller didn't ask specifically for Ginger and never identified himself. All he said was that he had $73,000 in cash in his hands and he wanted to purchase the property, but he did want to take a look at it first. At this point, it was already pretty into the afternoon, a little bit after 2 p.m., and Ginger knew this property wasn't nearby, so even though she was like, let's do this, let's make the sale, she did want to check in with her kids, an 11-year-old son and a 14-year-old daughter. So she swung by her house and told them, hey, I'm going to be late for dinner, but get settled in after school, do your homework, you know, all that stuff, and she'd see them later. And that's when Ginger got in her brand new Chevy station wagon and drove to this rural property. And a lot of people say that this was totally normal of Ginger. She ran a pretty tight ship at home, checked in with her friends and family often, and also was the kind of mom that, like, every kid wanted to have and every mom wanted to be. On top of being this super successful real estate agent, Ginger was goals. So her family knows she has this kind of later showing, but again, she was a kick-butt agent, totally not unusual. But by 6 p.m. that evening, Ginger still hadn't returned home. Her husband Charles starts to get worried. He calls the office where she works and everyone there is like, well, she had this showing, she said she was going home first, and then home after the showing. We haven't seen her in hours and we really aren't expecting to till tomorrow. But Charles just doesn't feel right about this. So he calls up a buddy and says, you know, something isn't right. Ginger's not home and we need to go find her. They told me where her last showing was. Can you come with me? And his friend agrees and the two of them head towards Green Prairie Road where this rural property was located. And when they get there, they immediately discover the body of a stabbed, bludgeoned, and partially clothed Ginger in the middle of the yard. The ground around her body was clearly disrupted, showing signs that Ginger had fought for her life. Of course, authorities were called, the scene was assessed, and her body was actually taken to San Antonio, Texas, which is about 3 hours away from College Station, for an autopsy, which was actually observed by the district attorney for Brazos County, where College Station is located. During the autopsy, the forensic pathologist performing the autopsy reported that Ginger had been stabbed 11 times. Choked so violently that her neck had actually been broken. And on top of that, she had been struck in the head multiple times with a blunt object that was later determined to be either a rock or a slab of concrete. She had more than likely died by around 3:30 p.m. that day, just moments after arriving at the property. The pathologist also confirmed Ginger's struggle with her attacker by identifying defensive wounds to her hands, showing that she had tried to fight him off, and also the killer's DNA was found under her fingernails. I'd like to point out that there are a couple of reports that state that she was sexually assaulted, which by the state of her undress, I can see how that would kind of be presumed. But the majority of the reports that I read don't confirm that any signs of sexual assault were actually confirmed by investigators or the forensic pathologist. The community of College Station was completely rocked by this. They had a newly formed Crime Stoppers of Brazos County that started to get involved, and a ton of local real estate agents raised money for a reward, over $10,000. They're going all out. And I'm going to take a second here to be honest with you guys. There were also some kind of squirrely things that they did to try to solve this case. There are reports that authorities were going to send her clothes off to Washington, D.C. to be, quote, scanned by a new device that uses laser beams to detect fingerprints, end quote. And there is also record of Brazos County interrogating an unidentified suspect under hypnosis for over 3 hours with no arrest. But the one thing that they do right, that, as I'm sure you figured out, literally solves this case, is that they collect and properly store that DNA sample that was found under Ginger's fingernails. But in the meantime, it's still the early 80s. They can't do much with the sample. So they start looking for similar murders. And I feel like I've always thought that being a female real estate agent was kind of a dangerous job, but this case really confirmed it for me. Brazos County Sheriff's Department basically went to every other department, honestly, in the country, that had a murdered female real estate agent after Ginger's murder with the details of her case. And there were even some with a lot of similarities, but every time something was ruled out when it came to connecting the cases. Time progresses, and in the late 90s, DNA is starting to become more and more advanced. An investigator named Kenny Elliott with the Brazos County Sheriff's Department decides to resend key evidence, including the DNA, to the Texas Department of Public Safety to be tested more thoroughly. They test it and obviously get a way more complex profile of the killer. But again, it's still just the 90s. DNA is still really new, and there isn't even really a good central database for these things, but it does give them something to compare to suspect samples, and they do. Over the next 10 years, Brazos County Sheriff's Department compares at least 8 suspect samples to the sample found under Ginger's fingernails with no match. And then they head over to our buddies over at Parabon, where they get the snapshot profile done in 2017. And I'm going to post these on Patreon so you can all see them too. But they post a picture of what the killer may have looked like at the time of the murder and also an age progressed picture. And if you've listened to all of our DNA episodes already, or even our episode about April Tinsley in the main feed, you know that these snapshots are just a ballpark image. But they're kind of known for being incredibly accurate. The images are distributed and there's still nothing. And at this point in time, like I said, it's 2017. Investigator Elliott has been on the case since 1993 and has submitted over 16 suspect samples with no avail. But then, as we all know, April 24th, 2018 happened. DNA technology revealed the identity of the Golden State Killer. And the Brazos County Sheriff's Department are like, sign us up. And they have the DNA that's been compared to so many suspects in the past and used to create that initial snapshot sent through GED Match, the Open Data Genealogical Database. Obviously, this takes a little bit of time, but when they finally get the results back, two females were identified as cousins to the owner of the sample that was found under Ginger's fingernails. And that was the jumping off point. Within hours of that information being received, Brazos County Sheriff's Department had a suspect in sight. And on June 25th, 2018, 36 years after her murder, and in the middle of the summer of justice, James Otto Earhart was identified as the killer of Virginia Ginger Freeman. And here's one of the most tragic things about this case and why I found it to be such an important story to tell. James Otto Earhart was convicted of abducting and murdering a 9-year-old girl named Candy Kirtland that he literally grabbed off the street in Brazos County, Texas in 1987, just 10 miles from the property where he lured and murdered Ginger 6 years earlier. He was sentenced to death for that crime and was put to death in August of 1999. But I think this is just such a great reminder that organizations like And the Backlog, who work to get DNA samples collected from crime scenes tested as quickly as possible, or national databases like the ones within CODIS and NamUs, are so important. Had the technology available today been in the hands of the Brazos County Sheriff's Department in 1981, could the murder of Candy Kirtland been prevented? And even in the 90s when they were investigating, could Kenny Elliott have given the Freeman family some sense of closure after the senseless murder of their wife and mother, friend and pillar of the community, before her killer died? We'll really never know.
Thank you. This episode of Crime Junkie was written and hosted by Britt. All of the editing and production was done by David Flowers, and all of our music, including our theme, comes from Justin Daniel. Crime Junkie is an Audio Chuck production. So what do you think, Chuck? Do you approve?